Hey, it's Christine from Storyworthy. Have you ever tried to plan a really nice trip for someone you love?
And I'm trying to plan this really nice thing, and we'd had a really nice honeymoon, and I was trying to not compete with that, but at least plan a decent first, you know, anniversary. It's our first anniversary. I wanted to be nice.
What a beautiful gesture. What could go wrong?
We get into our room, and we sit down in the room, and I start flipping through the book, through this book that had like the nation's top Christian bed and breakfast. Now, I'm Jewish and so is my wife. And I see this thing that I booked us into for the next like 3 days as like number six.
Okay, that's bad. What else did you plan, Randy?
I said, honey, let's go. I booked us on a hot air balloon ride. She's like, you know I'm afraid of heights. I said, I do now.
But I bet it was beautiful, right? She must have loved it.
We're coming in hot, okay? We are coming in fast. And he's like, okay, listen, when the basket hits, everybody jump.
Oh, that's not good. Today on Storyworthy, comedian Randy Sklar talks about planning a trip for his wife. Stay tuned.
Hey there, Randy Sklar here of the Sklar Brothers, although I'm my own person, let's be honest. And you are listening to the phenomenal Storyworthy.
Christine Blackburn, and I'm coming to you from Silver Lake, California. I'm so glad you guys tuned in today, whether you're a longtime fan of the show or a new listener. Welcome to Storyworthy. Now, I hope you guys enjoyed the story last week with comedian Rachel O'Brien and her story, Misdiagnosed. That was an intense story, I will tell you that. Rachel tells it very well. She's adorable. And, you know, when I think about Rachel O'Brien and I think about her age, and her youth and her beauty and my jealousy, I think about that she told me that she danced with her dad to Freebird. Like that's the generation gap right there, when you dance with your dad to Freebird. And then I thought my dad, you know, he would dance to Frank Sinatra. So that's kind of that was my dad's Freebird. Anyway, you guys, go back and listen to Rachel O'Brien and her story, but not now. Not now, because today you guys have to stay with me. You've tuned in for a really great episode with comedian Randy Sklar. Randy Sklar, you guys probably know him from the Sklar Brothers. As you know, Randy has an identical twin, Jason, and they have several shows, several podcasts, lots of things going on all the time, including this new show, new podcast called Dumb People Town. And I have to tell you guys, you're in for such a treat. It's so funny. They call it DPT for short, which I keep thinking, like, did my daughter get inoculated for that? I thought, is it some sort of, I think it's some, yeah, it's like a shot, I think, the DPT. You don't want to get the DPT, by the way. Anyway, I never met your brother Jason, but I feel like I met him because you're twins. So I feel like, you know. Anyway, Randy brings forth the story today, planning a trip. Planning a trip. Now, as you guys know, my audience knows, I've traveled extensively because I used to be a flight attendant. That was the first reason, because I was for work flying all the time. But in addition, I lived in Pittsburgh, so I wanted to be gone. So when I wasn't flying, I would travel anyway. But back then, when we planned a trip, we had to go by like a Let's Go Europe book, right? It would be like a Let's Go book, or maybe like a Farmer's book, something like that. We didn't have, you know, the interweb. We didn't have the technology today. So I really haven't traveled outside. I haven't traveled with the new technology, as it were, like planning a trip. Because now you could just go with an iPhone. I mean, we used to have the books, and we would tear pages out of the books as we went country to country to drop weight. You know, you didn't want to carry that big brick of a book around. Now, I did go on two trips that I've talked to you guys about before. A couple of years ago, I went to the Middle East and India and Oman and the United Arab Emirates, but it was on a ship. So it's different, because that's like, you don't have to plan at all when you do trips like that. There's no planning, because they do it all for you. That's what you're paying for. And then the other trip I did was the Greek islands. Same thing, it was on a boat. And if you're on a boat, then you really, it's like, it's a thought-free trip is what it is. And that can be nice, nothing wrong with that. Anyway, you guys, I'm really excited to hear what Randy has to say about planning a trip. I have a feeling it'll be funny. But before we get to Randy's story, I did want to remind you guys to follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Storyworthy. And why not head over to my website, storyworthypodcast.com, and join the mailing list. I have this mailing list. People fill out a few simple, like a name. That's all I need, right? And then every Monday we communicate in a very short way. It's almost like Randy and I, we say hi on the playground. Hey, how's it going? It's like that. But I also ask you to support my sponsors and stuff, which I don't do in person because that would be awkward to tell somebody. That'd be like, because you have, I know Randy has a lot of sponsors on a couple of his shows, including an underwear sponsor. And now I have a bra sponsor. So I'm all for free underwear. Anyway, you guys, listen, yeah, head over to the website. And if you're feeling really nice, why not go over to Apple Podcasts and leave Storyworthy 5 stars, right? So first you click on the star thing and then you leave a quick, sweet little review like, Christine told me to say this. Please listen to Storyworthy. That'll work. It's all good. All right, you guys. He's here right now. Randy Sklar. He is an actor and a writer. And you've seen him on many TV shows. Like, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Like, that's the funniest show in the world, I have to say. You've also seen him on shows like Entourage. I remember Entourage. It's been a while. Marin, Children's Hospital, also super funny. Law and Order. Becker. My mom loved Becker. But my mom loves anything with Ted Danson. He just has that wheelhouse of women over 60 that they just pant for that guy. Anyway, Randy is super talented. He also has a new show, like I mentioned, with his brother and Daniel Van Kirk. And like I said, it's called Dumb People Town. And I'm telling you, it's so funny. It's so clever. It's a very simple premise. People basically submit different stories, true stories that they've heard about dumb people doing dumb things, mostly criminal acts, you know, and leaving really obvious clues that they did it or whatever. I came up with 2 stories. I found 2 stories I'm going to hit him up for later on, and we'll see if he can comment on those. You can find Randy's new show over on Apple Podcasts and also on Twitter and on Instagram at Sklar Brothers. You write that whole thing out, Sklar, S-K-L-A-R, and then write out Brothers. All right, you guys, wherever you are, put your hands together for Randy Sklar.
Thank you. I'll let the applause die down. Thank you so much for letting me be here and tell my story on Storyworthy. It's about planning a trip. And I, you know, what you talked about in the opening, yeah, I traveled through Europe using like the Let's Go Europe and the Lonely Planet and the Fedors and all those. And yeah, we used to like, as if we would never come back there again, just leave the books for other people, go to a youth hostel and you leave them there for other people to do because you didn't want the wait. But it was a great way. I mean, we used to drive around Los Angeles using a Thomas Guide, which was this giant map book. And so the story I'm going to tell actually comes from like that period of time. So I'm about, when this thing drops, this drops on June 26th, 2 days prior to this is my 16th anniversary for, I've been married for 16 years and I've known my wife since 97. So it's 20 years that we've known each other, long time. And the story I'm going to tell is it's important because it's about planning a trip, but it's really about the relationship that you have with your spouse and what you do in the relationship and figuring that out. Like now we know clearly the difference is now she planned a trip for our entire family to take, like rent a camper van and go up to Northern California above San Francisco, up to Humboldt County and all that stuff. And she planned it out and I knew to stay as far away from the planning as possible. Just say, yes, we're going to do that. That sounds good. Because it just took years of me not knowing. So this was back at a time when I completely didn't understand that concept. I'll take you back to our first anniversary. So we were in Los Angeles and I said, you know what? And I can't believe that she at that moment said, yeah, I'll put this in your hands. I said, you know, I'll take care of it. I will plan our first anniversary. It was so dumb. And it was such like new marriage hubris for me to think that I could do that. So I was like, all right, I'll plan up in Napa. Let's go up to Napa. We can drive up there. It'd be super fun. And it'll just be easy. And I've never been to Napa. I heard it's amazing. We didn't have kids yet. So it's just us. We can go and get drunk. Not that we don't do that now, but like we could go do that at that point in time and not have any kids to worry about. Sideways had just come out. There was a glorification of Napa and that whole thing. And so, sorry, my dog barking in the background. So this is back 2002. All right, so internet is a thing, okay? Definitely most people are on dial-up. There's no such thing as DSL. There's no such thing as high-speed internet service and whatnot. And Most people had AOL accounts back then. There were a couple of people who were like on Excite or Prodigy, what have you. But I was like, all right, I'm going to plan this thing out. So I went on some websites to look for like a bed and breakfast for us to stay in up in Napa. And I found this place. I didn't even understand where to stay. And I should have done so much more research. And this is classic me just finding some place that kind of looks halfway decent and then stopping. Not doing all the more. Again, this is what I've realized my wife does so much more than me and so much better than me is figuring out all the places, then using all of that knowledge, making an educated guess based on a tremendous amount of research, which we just, I wasn't doing. I was like, oh, that place looks good without researching it really. Let's do that. So I found a place in Napa for us to go, a bed and breakfast that looked kind of interesting from the website. It looked like a nice, big, huge Victorian home, and it was just an interesting thing. And I thought, oh, okay, this is going to be wonderful. We're going to do that, and I'll plan a couple things. And okay, so we drive up, and really the place to stay in Napa is like north of Napa. You want to go north. It's a little bit more rural. It's a little bit more beautiful, better restaurants, better stuff around there. Napa itself is not that pretty. It is... the actual downtown is kind of not great. So, of course, where I picked to go without even looking at maps or anything, there was no Google Maps back then, right in the middle of downtown, like in a neighborhood, like we just went from our neighborhood here to another neighborhood. There was nothing special about it. It was just a house in the neighborhood and there was like construction going on next door. It just was not wonderful or romantic at all. You know, I'm trying to plan this really nice thing. We'd had a really nice honeymoon and I was trying to not compete with that, but at least plan a decent first, you know, anniversary. It's our first anniversary. I wanted to be nice. So so we get inside and it's kind of weird and a lot of purple, if that in any way, like purple as a color, I think is fine, but an entire place that's purple. If someone's making purple choices and everything, you got to ask yourself a question. What is this place? We get into our room and we sit down in the room and it's, I start flipping through the book, through this book that had like the top, they had a book that Amy was just sort of getting ready. And I start flipping the book that was the nation's top Christian bed and breakfast. Now I'm Jewish and so is my wife. And I start flipping through the book and I see this thing that I booked us into for the next like 3 days as like number 6 in the top Christian, like that's how little research I did. I didn't even realize that this is a religious bed and breakfast. Like I completely screwed up so badly. So I said, honey, and she was like, oh shit, I can't believe it. Like curse. I was like, fuck, I was so mad. And of course, at that moment, someone like came by the door right as we realized and we cursed, both of us. And they were like, listen, we don't curse in here. There's no cursing. I was like, there's no cursing in here? The people that showed up were, I mean, it was a collection of, I mean, all people that probably later in life, if they would have lived in Montana, would have voted for the guy who body slammed the reporter because he body slammed the reporter. So that's who we're dealing with. Now, those are the people you're sharing dinner. That's the other thing is like bed and breakfast. You have to like sit next to other people and interact in a way that I was like, I cannot believe it was so tense. So number one, I said, all right, this is terrible. We actually moved the next day and went to a different place. Thankfully, I found another place or she had to step in. And so literally it was like, you can't handle this. I said, honey, let's go. I booked us on a hot air balloon ride. She's like, you know, I'm afraid of heights. I said, I do now, but why not? Let's try it. Let's overcome our fear of heights. We went to the next morning to the, like, I think it was the Alexander Valley, which is kind of up near Napa, 20 miles north, which is where we should have stayed. We drive up at like 6 a.m. That's another great thing to do is force your partner to wake up at 6 a.m. on a vacation. Like, here, I know you're not working, but let's wake up at 5:45 when we should be relaxing. I just did not plan this at all. We get out there, we get to the thing, and she's really scared. I mean, you're watching the balloons get blown up, and she's super nervous because you're standing in a basket that comes up to just below your armpits, and this is not a feeling of it's loud, but there's not a feeling of like I'm... That's nothing's like keeping you from just falling out of this thing. It just, there is a definite if you're afraid of heights, it is, it goes to the core of everything. You're standing in a basket. You feel like, oh, this thing could rip open at any moment. All right, so we get in there, and it's us, some weird German couple, guy with shorts and black socks on, another, there are like a few other people in this, in our basket, and the, we get up in the air, and the, our pilot, okay, the guy, I guess that's what he was called, his name, he called himself Maverick. Now, I mean, that's a reference to Top Gun. I was like, this guy is definitely reckless. I look down at his hand, and the hand that is controlling the thing that has the fire up in the top that goes up in the balloon, he's missing 2.5 fingers. Okay, so I'm like, he's either incredibly unlucky or incredibly reckless and stupid. And his name is Maverick. I'm going to choose the second. Okay, his nickname is Maverick. So he immediately, this is what you're supposed to do. Go 1 mile up, 1 mile over, come down and have Brent, have like brunch. It's simple. 1 mile up, no wind, 1 mile over, then you go down and land it at the place you're supposed to land it. And then you have a nice lunch and that's it. Yeah. That's it. We get up into the air and Maverick radios down to, I mean, I'm standing right next to him. He radios down with the nub of his hand and he's like, he says to the person, I think, I don't even know if the radio was on, but he said, I got a wind, I'm going with it. All right. And so Amy looks at me like, what in the world did you get us into? First, the Christian bed and breakfast, and I'm going to curse like crazy up in this balloon because I've got to get it out before I get back to this place. And secondly, this guy is now a crazy man is piloting this balloon. And I'm afraid because I'm looking over the side and I'm like, we're going to go down. So you're supposed to go 1 mile up, 1 mile over, go down and have lunch. This guy with the wind, because he's like, we don't normally get to do this. We go 13 miles into another direction, into airspace that we don't have clearance to be in. Okay. And he's radioing down. We can see the van that's like frantically driving to kind of find out where we need to go and to find out where he's going to land us. He starts radioing down to them. You got to start knocking on doors and see if we can land on people's farmland. I was like, wait a minute. You haven't cleared this? Maverick, what are you doing? He's like, just knock on doors. Nobody will let us do that. He said, finally, he's like, it's getting later and later and later. Finally, he said, you know what? I'm just going to, I see a little spot between the hill and that house over there. I'm going to take it down right here. I'm like, you see a little spot? What are you talking about? This is how you lost those fingers, you idiot. So he starts to take us down fast. I mean, like way faster than the balloon should just go. Like I said, 1 mile up, 1 mile over, sit down, have brunch. That's not what it is. We're coming in hot. Okay. We are coming in fast. And he's like, okay, listen, when the basket hits, everybody jump, because if you don't do that, it's all going to fall over. I was like, what? What are you talking about? This is supposed to be a pleasant thing that I planned for my 1 year anniversary with my wife. Do you understand, Maverick? We land. It goes like it's coming down, and we're coming in at a fast angle. We all jump. I would contest that the Germans didn't jump enough, all right? But that's, look, I have issues with Germans as a Jew. We jump. The basket falls over, and we all, like, tumble out of it. I mean, it is intense. Like, someone could have really gotten hurt, but everybody was okay. We come out, and we're on someone's farm, okay? Farm animals. They're like a set of cows, like over to the right. And, you know, I don't know how much you've been around cows, but I have not spent a ton of time around cows. They seem nice. Like, they seem like they'd be really sweet. They're not nice. Cows are dicks. They're jerks. Okay. So I'm walking away from the cows, and one cow sees one woman who's in our group, a larger, heavyset woman, and starts to chase her, and chases her around a tree. Basically trees the woman, like around the tree, and finally she gets away. I mean, it's more running than I think this woman has done in a long time. Definitely did not expect this to happen. The van pulls up and screeches to a halt, like we're you know, performing a jewel heist. Screeches to a halt over outside of the barbed wire that we have to now climb through. We got to climb through barbed wire. So with angry cows, barbed wire, I'm climbing through between this fence as some guy's lifting it up for us to get through it. And I by managed to catch on the one of the bottom wire my jeans that I really liked, and I ripped on the inside my jeans, and that was it for me. Like, by the way, I could have handled everything else. That was it. I was like, I can't believe it. These guys, they ripped my jeans. What's gonna happen here? This is ridiculous. I was so mad. I was like, honey, go complain. So I told my wife to go complain to them about him ripping my jeans, which here I am. I planned this crazy thing that went completely out of control on every account, and I made her go complain. So she comes back she's like, I talked to them and, you know, they understand. So we get to the place where we're eating lunch, which is just like a little room somewhere, and we're eating and they're apologizing and whatnot. They're not giving anybody's money back, but they're apologizing for how crazy it was. But they're kind of talking about it like, yeah, wasn't that a great adventure? It's like, not really, but I actually thought it was cool until I ripped my jeans. But anyway, so they come over to me and they're like, listen, we're really sorry about what happened and we didn't plan for that to happen. As a token of our gratitude and to show you that we're sorry, we wanted to give you this. And it was a bright orange golf shirt with the company logo, with the logo on it, which was a multicolored balloon. Okay, so it looked like a multicolored balloon. And I was like, okay. And it was still in the plastic. And I said, thank you. You know, maybe this will be a cool shirt and I'll wear it. And I appreciate it. That was nice of you to do that. I get back to, because we hadn't switched from the Christian bed and breakfast. I get back to the Christian bed and breakfast. And I'm like, I'm going to try this shirt on. So we're in our room. And I'm like, I'm going to try this shirt on and see if it looks good. It is a medium. I'm a large. Like, if depending on how it runs, extra large sometimes fits better. I mean, if it runs big, then a medium would work. This was small for a medium. So I put it on, and it's, like, super tight. It looks like a West Hollywood, like I'm, you know, in the gay glitterati. Like, West Hollywood. And, of course, it has, like, a rainbow. Not that I completely support gay rights in every way, shape, or form. But I look like I'm the master of ceremonies at the Stonewall Parade. And I put it on. I look at it in the mirror. I'm like, son of a bitch. And right as I said that, someone walked in the door. And was like, we don't. Can you please stop cursing? And we don't support gay rights here. So it was like, that was the end.
That is the funniest.
It's crazy because it's really about, and that was the last time I ever planned a trip for the two of us. It was always, everything was completely gone through her. I like lost my ability. I gave that up at that point in our marriage, my ability to plan things. And I was like, it's not where I excel.
Well, I do think in a marriage that it's important to identify what you're good at and what your partner is good at, you know, and then just let that go. You know, like both of my marriages, the guys were good at cooking and I said, that's fine.
Right.
You know, so.
Yeah, you guys. Yeah, she. Yes. I'm like, know. I will never, even if I take tons of cooking classes for that, using that example, I'll probably never be as good as she is.
Yeah, and she enjoys it.
She enjoys it, and she's great at it.
She enjoys the planning.
That's right, and she enjoys that stuff. So
I want to go back, though, to the actual accident, because honestly, were people crying?
People weren't crying, but they were freaking out. Like, there were a ton of people.
Death.
I know.
You to could see die easily.
Right, or a balloon could just, or people get injured.
People do die.
I wasn't afraid of my life. I was afraid of
Amy's life.
Right, and that I would be blamed for planning this. No, yeah. I was afraid of someone getting injured, like breaking an arm or something like that.
Easily that could
easily
happen. I mean, you're in a basket.
So thankfully that didn't happen.
So when he was on the radio with the ground and he said, I got wind.
I got a wind, I'm going with it.
What does that mean?
He means he's up and maybe, I think it normally, it's not that windy. And so you just go up and over and down and that's it. But he was like, I'm feeling it in my, I don't know.
So he wanted to go for it. It was like catching a wave,
right,
like in the ocean.
He wanted some excitement.
Yeah,
he's
I
Maverick.
Know, but
he's
but
Maverick.
As a, that's like a pilot saying, you know, I'm
he
catching
was,
some tailwind.
Right.
I'm just going to go off course.
That's right. He was less of a pilot and more of a pirate. You
How
know what
old
I mean?
Was he?
He was probably about, I would say between, about a little older than I am now. So he's probably like 45 to 50.
Oh, so he wasn't really that old. He just sort of sounds
50
like
50 years
a
old,
gruff.
Grizzled
but he
dude.
Was grizzled.
Yeah, like super tan, leathery guy who looks like he probably lives on a houseboat.
See, back then they didn't have Yelp and stuff like that
No.
either. Because
you
would
have known about Maverick.
Yeah. And when you go and you sign on, you know, you go to somebody's website, obviously, so quickly, you get so much information and you see these
pictures.
It's
a different world now.
Yeah. It's a different world of traveling.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah. So they did not return your money.
They did not return our money. And you know what? In the end, I'm like, what a great experience. And now I have the story. And, you know, I was thinking about it the other day because we had planned this trip to go this summer to go with the kids. And I was thinking about it because I specifically, she's like, what about doing this? And I was like, whatever you want.
Whatever you want.
Whatever you want. It's
that's
fine.
A gimme for the rest of
I'm
your
like,
lives,
just,
really.
It's,
so you're going to take a camper this year?
So we rented like this thing called a Juicy Camper, which is the top cranks open.
Oh, I can't wait to hear how that goes.
Roof. Yeah.
I think it'd be a blast.
So there's a bed on the top and then the seats fold down the back and that becomes a double bed. And so
I think
kids will sleep up top and we'll sleep down. I know.
Fun adventure. I really
and our
think
kids are like,
good.
They'll be 12 and almost 10. So I don't know how many more of these summers
so true.
We have
it's
to
so
do
true.
This
I
thing.
Swear the hours, like my daughter also is 10 years old and I see like the clock just ticking.
I know.
I can feel her little body changing and I think about, you know, because we've had, obviously we've been having the talks and, you know, you read these books about menstruation and it's going to all start and then there's no going back.
It's like, and just them, and I don't blame them, wanting to spend time with their friends and wanting to cultivate that. I want them to do all that.
Of course.
So I kind of want
to
do...
That's our job,
right.
is to get them to be independent and not need us.
And exactly.
It's just very hard to
It's a
to
very
let
hard
go.
Thing to
and
do.
And they say, though, that teenagers, one of the reasons why they're so rebellious and they can be so difficult to be with and they start, you know, with I hate you and all that is because it makes you not necessarily... want to be around them and it gives you a little like pushing them away room.
Yeah.
You know, like, because if they were always 6 months old, you know, which
it's
is actually
good.
On the other side, they say that a lot of women get pregnant with the second child when the first child is about 6 months old because innately they want to birth again because that baby is so cute.
And that feeling and that connection is like so tight.
Well, this way, if you take your own vehicle, then you won't risk being in any like purple bed and breakfast.
Oh, no, I hired Maverick to drive us. Is that bad? I'm just kidding.
by the way, it reminded me of, remember in the movie Breaking Bad, the wife's purple. You know, she loved everything purple.
Yeah.
I can't think of that name, that actress's name, but she loved all purple, everything. Okay. And so do you like bed and breakfast in general? Because I don't.
You know, as I've gotten older, I am like, no, I'm not a big fan.
Just because it's
it's too much. What I realize is that, and again, it totally becomes an issue of your time. So what I realize is that the time that we have is so precious.
Right.
Although, you know, we did this crazy trip 2 years ago where we were up in the Sequoia National Forest and stayed in these, like, tents. And you come down and everyone kind of eats together. They make the meals for you in this thing before you go off and hike. And in that way, you're meeting other people who have kids. And then we went on a river rafting trip last year that in Idaho that had other families were there. And we got to know these other families.
Nice.
And it worked. Yeah. That worked.
Well, it also because the kids, it gets them somebody to play with. But when you go on, the other situation is like a cruise. And when they say, so where you been? So where are you from? What do you do?
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I don't want to talk to you because I'll never see you again. And I'm wasting my breath.
I know. So, it's funny because my mom is going to take Georgia on a cruise for her 10th birthday. Like, she did that for Daisy. And
great.
I'm like, that is wonderful because...
Perfect.
It's really about the two of them going off and having that time together and just knowing that they had that trip and she can do it.
That's going to be amazing.
And Georgie wants to do it and I'm like, just
Plus,
go.
Your daughter Georgia happens to be very articulate and very, like if you say, I'll see her on the playground, I'll say, how was your weekend, Georgia? And she'll say, just fine. And how was yours?
Uh-huh.
And it's like,
that's
wow.
good. That makes me happy.
Wow.
We got to get our kids to understand that they're not the only people out there, that when someone asks you something that they're probably have done something too, and it's always good to ask other people what they're doing.
Right. But do you think that was an innate thing that that's just her little personality, or do you think that did it happen with your other daughter too?
Oh, the other daughter too is like really good at answering people and looking at them and talking
to
them.
Well, then will you spend more time with my daughter? Because
sure.
when I say, Bammy, say hi, she still sort of cowers away.
I know.
It's funny,
some
huh?
kids don't love that. that. And sometimes my kids are very shy. Yeah. Sometimes they'll be shy in certain situations. And I'm like, come on, you guys.
Yeah, just use your words. You know, use your words. And I'll say, Bammy, what if, you know, we met one of your new friends and you said, you know, Mama, meet... You know,
oh, that's a good
and
thing.
And I just said, and I just looked at him and I walked away. Like,
Ooh, that's a good point. That's a really
still
good.
Doesn't listen. So
that's
you need
a great.
To play,
that's a great way to flip it.
Spend more time with my daughter. Would you do that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, listen. I don't know a lot of sets of twins. I know that sounds. I mean, I don't know. Do you know a lot of other twins?
We don't, but I mean, I know some. Like in growing up, we had there were like three sets in our. School that were kind of around our age, and
you were born January 12th,
yeah,
right? Because I'm the 7th, we're both Capricorns.
January 7th, nice.
The 12th, I think, is that Howard Stern, or he's
I think so,
he's right in there,
maybe. Yeah, so we're the 12th, and we, you know, I mean, there were a few sets. We're friends with there's one friend who we've stayed, a guy who we've really stayed, they were he and his brother were. Sixth grade camp counselors ours. So they were like 5 years older than us. And we both really liked their sister who was 2 years older than us. We were friends with her. And so one of them lives in Madison, Wisconsin. And whenever we go and do comedy there, it's where we shot our special and our last special. And whenever we go and do comedy there, we hang out with him a
lot.
So
cool.
We've stayed in touch with him. You know, there are other sets of twins. There are other twins who do comedy. The Lucas brothers do comedy, and so we've gotten to know them, and those guys are
I've seen
really...
some bad twin things
There
going
are definitely
on.
Some
Especially,
bad ones.
Especially, like, I lived
ones.
In Nashville years ago, and a lot of, like, twin musician acts, you know, musical acts. Yeah. That's a tricky thing
that's
right there.
That's a tricky thing.
So do you have any of those twin feelings, you know, as it were?
No.
Never.
Never. I mean, I've put it this way. I just broke my foot, like, 6-7 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And... You know, Jason said, I was like, did you feel anything? He's like, I felt it in my wallet because now we're going to have an issue.
You needed some time off.
I mean, you never want to walk on stage with anything that's even remotely going to draw away attention from what you're talking about.
Yeah.
So to walk on stage in a boot or a boot was fine. Actually, I was happy because I was nervous. I thought I was going to have surgery. And,
oh, wow.
Because it was a bad break and it was pretty far apart. But
there's
you know,
so many bones in the foot.
I mean, I went to the urgent care in Burbank and the woman was like, you are going to need to
no
put screws
kidding.
In this for sure.
Oh my God.
But then I went and saw a surgeon. He was like, eh, I wouldn't do it. And then he's like, go see this other guy because I trust what he has to say. And he was like, eh, I wouldn't do
you
it.
You know, anytime you can get out of surgery, get out of surgery.
Yeah, because they have to take the screw back out. I mean, there's a whole thing in how
so
to do
how
it.
How are you now?
I am done with all like assisted footwear and stuff. I have to be careful to not really extend myself too much. So
do you have to do physical therapy?
No.
Are you sure?
Because it's a bone. It's like.
Are you sure?
Yes, I'm positive.
Even your movement is all there.
I'm fine.
Can you play basketball or anything?
I
like
can't do that yet. I have to. You know, I was playing tennis and loving it.
Yeah.
And then I broke my foot. I was like, I even said the week before. Yeah, I said I love tennis. I love it.
I had no idea.
I love it. Sure. Well, I mean, I have to wait. I have to get back to.
Well, I want
to
play you now while you're injured. That's the idea.
I was getting better, and then I realized.
Where do you play? By the way,
over at the Griffith Park.
Yeah, of course.
Right by the Greek Theater.
Oh yeah. Yeah, of course.
Those courts are awesome. Yeah.
Kirk Fox plays up here.
Yeah.
Do you know Kirk?
Know him well. He's probably a great tennis player because
he's
tall.
A good tennis player. Yes.
He's tall and thin and probably is like really.
Yeah.
He plays over
at Dr. Phil's house a lot. Isn't
does
that
he
funny?
Really?
Yeah, he does. Yeah.
Oh
there's
God.
A whole little team of them that run over there. And also.
I want to play at Dr. Phil's house.
I know. I do too. And Michael Costa. All those guys. Yeah, I know, right?
Costa is amazing.
I know. Well, he was ranked.
He was ranked and he played. He coached at the University of Michigan, which is where I went to school. We've talked deeply about it. We had him on our podcast, on our sports comedy podcast, Scarborough Country, and he was amazing because he told amazing stories about, you know, you get a certain number of points for making it into a tournament,
course,
and that
right.
tells you what your ranking is. And he's like, we're literally the guy I'm rooming with.
Right.
I'm fighting with. We're playing against each other
and getting put up in shitty hotels.
I know.
And
like
he came
terrible.
On Storyworthy and told the story about competing in Zanawapatu. How do you say it?
Whatever.
How do you say it? Come on, Zanawapatu.
Where's Zanawapatu?
That's not the name of it.
Ziwatanejo.
I think that's it. Niwatawejo.
Ziwatanejo.
That's where he.
It's down in Mexico.
Right. And there were like five people in the whole audience, and like he would talk about like playing the higher up you get, the better the hotels are. And then if you're not winning, you're like in the Motel 6 if you're lucky.
Yeah.
Anyway, really funny stuff. So I'm glad you're playing tennis. I didn't realize
that. I mean, I loved it. I played as a kid, but it was the same season as baseball when I was a kid. So I never really played it for real. Yeah. Like, but I loved it. And then so recently I picked it up and I loved it. I was just wearing the wrong shoes.
Yeah.
Running shoes.
It's interesting when you have better equipment, you know, especially when you only have a few, like in tennis, you've got a racket and a ball and some shoes.
You have to get the right things. And I really do. And I just didn't.
Especially when there's so few things that you need.
I took a step and just rolled. And as soon as it happened, the two guys I was with, I was like, I broke it. They're like, how do you know? I said, I heard it snap. I know it's broken.
Yeah, yeah, that's too bad. Terrible. I'm sorry to hear that, but we will play.
Okay.
Okay, so like Scarborough Country, is that how you say it?
Yeah, Scarborough Country, okay. And interesting is this drops on the 26th, starting in next week, on next week's show, and it will not affect the people who listen to Scarborough Country at all. We're moving that podcast from Earwolf over to Feral Audio as well. So what we had was Scarborough Country and Scarborough County. That was last year.
Right.
County became Dumb People Town. We rebranded
it. Interesting.
It's really non-sports related. It's just stupid stories of stupid people doing stupid things.
It's very
things.
Clear that the title is clear.
That's right. So we wanted to sort of do that. And then Scarborough Country, we're also sort of going through a little bit of a relaunch and a rebrand. That's going to be on Feral. We're taking it out of the comedy section and putting it in the sports section.
I was going to say, you guys, now I listened to that show, but it was obviously heavily you know, skewed towards sports, which I'm not a fan of. Mm-hmm. And but I still would listen because it wasn't by no means all sports. But now with Dumb People Town, I'm so excited because it is just you guys doing what I love what you do most.
And it's more broad.
It's so clever and so smart. And I really look forward to seeing it live as well, because I know you're doing live
shows. We're doing a live one. When this drops, we will have done our first live one, which will be at the Starburns Castle in Burbank on June 8th. And then, you know, we'll do more as we're starting to figure it out. What's great and what we start to learn about with the analytics that we get back from the thing is, okay, our podcast was downloaded X amount of times in New York City the last 30 days. Well, that can tell you that maybe you have this many followers there. Okay, all right, so we have this many people who follow the podcast. If we can get 10% out to see us live when we're there.
I understand. You know where my biggest fans are for Storyworthy is San Francisco and Washington, D.C.
How do you like that?
So I need to get out there as well.
You need to
understand.
Do a live Storyworthy in San Francisco or D.C. There are places to do it up there.
So many shows here.
You should do one at
Los
Purple
Angeles,
Onion.
But the Purple Onion.
Up in San Francisco is great.
Really? What about the Throckmorton? I've heard that.
Yeah,
about
great.
Throckmorton, and then some other things up in, you know, where Charlie Brown, that little town. What's that called? You know, where Charles Schultz lived.
Oh, Jesus. Petaluma.
Yeah, sure.
There's beautiful stuff up there.
Okay, so here are two stories I pulled up that I think would qualify for Dumb People Town.
Okay.
Police say a central, and you can tell me what you think.
Okay.
Police say a central Pennsylvania man who locked himself out of his house wound up locked up in jail once emergency responders realized that he had unpaid court fines.
Uh-huh. That's classic.
Yeah.
That's good because this is a guy who thought that he would go through life never having to pay these court fines.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm fine. But of course, he locks himself. He is the reason that he is in trouble. He locks himself out, and then he's got to pay the piper.
So he apparently misplaced his keys.
Yep.
He's from Altoona, by the way, which was close to Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
35-year-old man, Jeffrey Jones, climbed onto the roof Sunday night while trying to get into his house through a window. Uh-huh. But what happened?
Someone called the cops on him.
Well, no. He got stuck, and he called the cops on himself because he had to call 911.
Perfect. He got stuck on his own roof. And again, he thought, these people are going to come and help me out. Right. Nothing bad can happen to me here. They're going to realize what a bad situation I'm in. Nope.
No. So the Altoona police say that they discovered then that Jones was wanted by the Blair County Sheriff's Office for failing to pay about $750 in court costs and fines.
Yeah. Well, why is he going to court in the first place?
Yeah, right?
That tells me
he owed money in two active miscellaneous contempt cases. What's a contempt case?
Contempt of court. He lying in court.
Yeah.
So now I'm starting to wonder if this is this guy's house. Now I'm starting to think that this is maybe his ex-wife's house.
Yeah.
He's trying to get in to get some stuff.
Interesting.
Now you have to actually, I don't believe anything that this guy is saying. He's saying this is his house.
Because these are dumb people.
Right.
In general.
These are dumb people who do dumb things, who think they're smart. That is my favorite person in the world. Yeah. The dumb person who thinks that he or she is smart.
Yeah.
Because those people have all the hubris in the world, and they just do things
it's
that
like
they
when
feel
cops try when they like cops try to round up people by saying, you won a raffle or you won something. Yeah. And then they all go down to the fire station because they think they're going to, and then they all get busted.
They're all busted. Yeah.
It's interesting. You're never going to run out of material for this show.
No, because people are always doing stupid things.
But it's going to duplicate itself in a way. Because it's going to be like, this would be called the what? That would be called the entering and
This is the breaking entering of your own house.
Story, right. Yeah, and so exactly. I bet that'll repeat itself.
Yeah, I mean, people will do that. But it's amazing how many, I mean, we've done stories recently about like a woman who posted a photo of her son, her 12-year-old son on Facebook, and one of her followers offered to give him an unofficial circumcision, and she stayed in a conversation with that person. Yeah, that's crazy talk. But she stayed in the conversation with him to the point where ultimately
the boy was grown.
Grown boy.
A grown boy. You can't do that.
He's not a licensed doctor, and he offered to do it in his house. All right, so there's that. then there's the story of a guy who showed up at a park with his two pet snakes and just let them roam free.
They didn't have anything on the...
No leash. He said you needed to put... And the authorities say you needed to put a leash, and he was flabbergasted.
There has to be a snake leash.
That he was told to put a leash.
It's probably more of a harness.
There was a woman who got her... who dropped something in the toilet and went to go fix her toilet by reaching her hand in, got it stuck. Hand stuck in the toilet. I had to call the authorities. They had to remove the entire toilet and put it on her front lawn and then pound it into oblivion.
That's
so they could get her
so
hand
upsetting.
Out of it.
That's yeah. so upsetting.
And it's like, don't stick your hand.
And then there were these people that went up in this hot air balloon. You know?
Yeah.
And then there was this guy named Maverick, and he just wanted to go with the wind.
That's
you
dumb
know?
People town and right then- there. I felt like I was in it right there. Me and the Germans. Just-
I have to say, I that's a danger. That was a dangerous situation.
Dangerous situation. I've never, and you are not in control of that situation.
Yeah, I'm really sorry.
You know, in
that
so
that
many
happened.
Ways in life, we always like to put ourselves in at least in control of our situation. I was completely out of control.
I have been in a couple of situations like out in the physical world, like whitewater rafting, where I wasn't comfortable.
Yeah.
I have been like rock climbing in Hawaii. It's like, what are we doing? Because if we fall, we're so fucked. I mean,
know.
Where are we? What are we doing?
You're in over your head at times, and you have to then respect your surroundings.
Yeah.
And
but see, now I'm not. Because I think because now I'm older, I don't take those chances anymore. I really don't.
We really took crazy chances.
So we're just going to have to tell our girls, like, we messed up. You don't
Be
mess
smart.
Up.
Smart. Yeah, learn from our mistakes.
Thank you so much for telling your story.
Thank you
it
for having me.
It was just fantastic. Really, really, a very funny story. Thank you.
I'm happy
All right,
to do
you
it.
Guys, I got to wrap it up. I want to thank you guys so much again for tuning in today. Tweet Randy and let him know that you enjoyed his story. You can do that at Sklar Brothers, all the way out, at Sklar Brothers. That's the Twitter feed right there. And then, of course, you can follow me over there as well, at Storyworthy. And again, feel free to email me at info@storyworthypodcast.com. And don't miss Storyworthy next week with the talented Sarah Colonna talking about how she had to end a friendship.
Like one time she got... We got in this crazy argument about the fact that I didn't like a band that she wanted to go see. When I hit my 30s, I'm like, I don't have fights with friends. Like, we're too old for that.
Don't miss Sarah Colonna next week on Storyworthy. All right, I want to thank everybody over at Wondery Media today, including Hernan Lopez and Jeffrey Glazer. And one more time, on behalf of Randy Sklar, thank you so much. My name is Christine Blackburn saying, make it a story worthy week.
Thanks for joining us on the Storyworthy Podcast. We'll be back next week with all new stories. Subscribe to Storyworthy on iTunes and visit the Storyworthy website at storyworthypodcast.com.
I wouldn't exactly call my life normal, but things have gotten a little weird since I started experimenting with this book called The Dark Tome. When I say the book opened other worlds, I mean that literally.
It worked! It worked! Holy crap, it worked! There it is. The little village. What did they call it?
Positano.
Ah!
No need to be frightened, little girl.
If you think imagination is a toy to be locked in a box when the grown-up world comes crashing in, then you must never have heard the legend of the Dark Tome. I mean, I never had either. Not until that May.
It was 820 steps from Sulescale to the world below. I walked them again and again with my father, following his tread from our home in the sky and then back again. I walked those stairs when I slept in my dreams.
If I had any sense, I would stay home now, but I can't. I don't want to. I need another story.
The truth? I believe the stairs led down into hell. And hell was where I wanted to go.
The Dark Tome is a weird fiction podcast series by Fred Greenhalgh and Bill DeFries. Find The Dark Tome on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or wherever you get your podcasts by searching The Dark Tome, or go to thedarktome.com. The Dark Tome. Open the book. Unlock imagination.
What happens now?
Will you continue reading, or... I don't know. It is up to you. I have all the time in the world.